You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 21st, 2020, and once again, Hillary Clinton wants to make herself relevant. Hillary Clinton failed 2016 presidential candidate, criticizing President Donald Trump as Putin's puppet, responding to reports that once again, there are reports Russia is meddling in the 2020 presidential campaign to help Trump. Clinton wrote on Twitter, "Putin's puppet is at it again, taking Russian help for himself." Hillary, you got defeated because you're a bad candidate. Nobody liked you, not even members of your own party. And if Trump was winning this time, the Russians don't have to help him. All the Democrat candidates are lined up. Maybe they're actually helping the Democrat candidates. Maybe they're giving money to Bernie Sanders and his socialist regime just to make sure that no one surfaces that would be a good opponent against him. I don't, you know, they're going to go down that road again. In the meantime, a new Morning Consult poll just released shows that Bernie Sanders and Michael Bloomberg leading the Democrat field in Super Tuesday state support. Now, this is going to involve 14 super states. Sanders leading the pack with 29% support. Bloomberg increasing, coming up second place with 21%. That's where he spent $500 million. I guess it's paying off. And of course, we saw a lot of the noise and fire and smoke and everything else at the Democrat debate this last Wednesday. Still debating as to who won, who lost, who got hurt the most. We're going to deal with that in more detail in the next segment as you hear from some of the political experts. And they're not happy. Not happy at all. We'll get to that in a moment. But what we do see, despite the battle over who won or lost, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders collecting more than $2 million for each of their campaigns since that debate. In other words, they're getting money dumped into them pretty fast. The University of Southern California announcing, yes, Virginia, school is free. You can have free college. This is going to ruin and take away the dream and the promise of folks like Sanders and Warren. But the University of California, Southern California, saying it's going to offer free tuition to students from families earning less than $80,000. Harvard University already does that for what they call low-income families. Somebody's paying for it, though. You do know that. So Trump's approval rating among small business owners soaring to an all-time high. 64% of small business owners approve of President Trump's job performance as president. 64%. Australia now considering the lead of the U.S. and U.K., leading the military wing, or rather listing the military wing of Hezbollah in Lebanon as a terrorist organization. What has taken Australia so long to come to that conclusion? That's pretty fascinating. Coronavirus update, 11 of the 13 Diamond Princess evacuees taken to Nebraska as they're trying to bring them back to the U.S. have tested positive for coronavirus. We have them now at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in quarantine. One of the men already sent to the biocontainment unit. His symptoms, cough, fever, shortness of breath, undisclosed chronic condition. Most of them are not that bad off, but they're going to continue watching them. 630-plus confirmed cases of coronavirus on that cruise ship, the most of any site outside mainland China. And two of those on the cruise ship, elderly ones, have passed away. This virus is everywhere. You might think it's just going to be confined to China and that area. Iran reporting at least three more cases of coronavirus. You know, in soccer, you got a lot of penalties. Some players fake an injury, and they get a penalty. Good. Red flag on some, red card on someone else. A French soccer player now handed a 5-year ban for what he did. He bit another player's, penis. He bit him. And they're going to suspend him for 5 years. Now, the other part of this story is, it didn't happen on the field. It happened in the clubhouse. Maybe this is one of those we just simply say, I gave you the basics. I'm walking away from it. I'll leave it to you to figure out. He got red carded 5 years.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We could wake up 2 weeks from today, the day after Super Tuesday, and the only candidates left standing will be Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage. And most Americans don't see where they fit if they've got to choose between a socialist who thinks that capitalism is the root of all evil and a billionaire who thinks that money ought to be the root of all power. Let's put forward somebody who actually lives and works in a middle-class neighborhood in an industrial Midwestern city. Let's put forward somebody who's actually a Democrat. Look.
I think that was one of the best lines coming out of the debate the other night. That's Pete Buttigieg, or Buttigieg, how you want to pronounce it, saying, why don't we put a Democrat forward in our Democrat primary? We've got a capitalist, we got a socialist, and nobody who knows who we are anyway. That's true. That is true. And in fact, Congressman Steve Scalise, Republican, said that the Democrat presidential debate the other night was a disaster. It shows the Democrats are clearly now the party of socialism. In fact, he noted that Bloomberg looked a little surprised when he got booed the other night because Bloomberg made the statement, we're not going to throw out capitalism. Other countries tried that. It was called communism. It just didn't work. Boo. They did not like that. And Bloomberg, what? There's a piece that Bloomberg had done in 2016 at Oxford University at the School of Business. And at that time, he discussed an array of topics, including socialism, Bernie Sanders, transgender rights, and even Donald Trump. This is 2016. And he said, I don't mean to knock young people. I wish I was one again. But young people listen to Bernie Sanders and they say, yeah, Democratic, that's good. Socialism, yeah, that's social media stuff. Because our kids no longer learn civics in school, and they no longer study Western history, they no longer read Western literature. This is Michael Bloomberg making it clear that young people today, the lemmings following behind the Pied Piper Bernie Sanders, they don't know what they're doing. He said, young people listen to Bernie Sanders, and they said, yeah, socialism, that's good. That was what Bloomberg was saying in 2016. He's trying to carry that onto the stage the other night, and he got booed. And again, back in 2016 at this Oxford presentation, he said, we're trying to change and dumb down the system, and if you don't know what happened in the past, you're going to have to relive it. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard, and this is not from Michael Bloomberg, you might have heard it, but how many times have you heard, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat it, and it's not going to be good. You should learn from history. Bloomberg at that time said, we tried socialism, it doesn't work. And he also went on to say that it's very dangerous, the world we're getting into. We cannot have this kind of extremism. So when Bloomberg got on the stage the other night, there were probably many thinking, maybe this guy will save us. Maybe he will come riding in and slaughter all the socialists, communists, far, far, far left, and even push Joe Biden off the stage, and we'll have a guy that's a capitalist at heart. Might not be the person we really want, but he's better than anyone else up here. If that's what they were thinking, whew, boy, did it go the other way. Perfect example on analysis of Bloomberg and the field in general. Paul Begala, a former Clinton campaign strategist, now a political commentator for CNN, and adding his comments about what happened on the debate the other night.
I don't know if we'll ever see a debate again where the front runner does not bear the brunt of the attacks. This is, and it's a burden I bear. This is what I predicted yesterday. You should change the chyron below me to the amazing Kreskin.
We remember.
But it was obvious. That's why I saw it. This was a gift to Bernie Sanders. It was a rough night for Mike Bloomberg. Man, Elizabeth Warren just gutted him like a flounder on Long Island Sound. It was rough for him. But Bernie, we are 2 days away from the voting in Nevada, and they attacked a guy who's not on the ballot in Nevada. It was, I thought, tactically really dumb for the Democrats. I'm not for any of these particular candidates. And Bloomberg, I thought, performed terribly. I thought Senator Warren really just clocked him. But Bernie is the front runner. Bernie is very likely to win in Nevada. This was your one chance, other Democrats competing against Bernie, to stop him from winning Nevada. And I think they missed that chance. So Bernie, the big winner. And then, of course, strategically, Donald Trump's got to be happy with a Democratic demolition derby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trump is happy with that demolition derby we saw the Democrats do the other night. And Begala's made it clear. He said, Bernie is your front runner. You should be going after him, but you'd put all your time and attention on the Bloomberg because he was the newbie on stage. He's the fresh red meat, and you missed your opportunity. Now, you might think, well, that's Begala's opinion. I mean, he's a strategist, politics, Democrats, but I'm sure not everyone buys into that. Well, let me give you another view, because I just happen to have a few more lined up for you. One being Joe Scarborough of the Morning Joe program, another political commentator, and he said, well, just listen.
I thought the two big winners last night were Bernie, because he's on his way to locking up this nomination if things keep going the way they are, and Donald Trump, yeah, who nobody laid a glove on him. They were too busy tearing each other to shreds in an intramural ping pong game.
And again, that's very clear. They were not going after the target they should have been going. They gave Bernie a pass, and it worked for Bernie the other day. And, of course, nothing on that stage helped Bloomberg. Nothing's going to help him. But another CNN analyst, in fact, a former South Carolina state legislator who's now on the CNN analytical panel, Bakari Sellers, gave his assessment.
The performance was god-awful. It was one of the worst performances, and I don't know what my level of expectation was for Michael Bloomberg, but he didn't meet that. And I it's amazing to see someone who has billions of dollars and all of these resources not spend any money on debate prep, when if he did, he probably fired them all last night, even before the plane left Las Vegas. So it was a deplorable performance. I think that, as I said earlier, those curious individuals, and Crystal was right. I mean, that for many people, the only person who could rival Bernie Sanders as we're as this field is winnowing and as we're getting to Nevada, South Carolina, and then the big debate hall, or excuse me, the big delegate hall of Super Tuesday, people thought it was going to be Michael Bloomberg. After last night's performance, I'm sure Mayor Bloomberg wishes he never showed up.
Possibly. Possibly. In fact, also, Bakari Sellers also added that people are used to losses in Vegas, big losses at the craps table, the blackjack table. He said, but it's rare you see somebody take a loss like that on a debate stage. So again, the Democrats come to this debate, and they've got Bloomberg on the stage for the first time. They spend all of their capital, their time, their effort attacking him for the most part. Bernie just doesn't get under attack that much, which makes him look above the fray. And if you think that's going to be good for him, well, then they gave him a pass. And again, another CNN political commentator, a former Obama advisor, Van Jones, said again, Bloomberg stunk up the place.
This was a disaster for Bloomberg. Bloomberg went in as the Titanic, billion-dollar machine Titanic. Titanic meet iceberg Elizabeth Warren. She took him to task in a way that I'd never seen in a debate. She took it over. She prosecuted him. But the worst part about it is, for me, a lot of African Americans are placing great hope in Bloomberg. Despite the stop and frisk and all that sort of stuff, you're seeing people trying to move over there. And he just wasn't ready. He was tone deaf on issue after issue. And the reason why, he's not been in those living rooms. He hasn't been doing those town halls. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. Attacking people for, I have too much money for TurboTax? This is a great answer? A lot of people watching use TurboTax. Mm-hmm. His answer on women was terrible. He got completely destroyed on the NDA question.
So again, what you have is every candidate that was on the stage going after Bloomberg. Bloomberg not doing a very good job of defending himself. But on top of that, it became apparent, even for these analysts, that, well, you heard Van Jones say, we were thinking that Bloomberg might actually be good for the black community, that they're willing to accept him over Biden, because Biden's the one that's been hanging on thinking that I can actually win if I get South Carolina and I hold the black vote. Bloomberg, despite all the charges against him, seems to be climbing up the ladder. And yet, despite that, the other night, didn't look so good. This field of Democrats, it's... John LaBoutière was on with us in the previous hour, former U.S. Congressman, Republican, Reaganite. He said, I was only going to watch part of it, but I just got so wrapped up, and it's kind of like watching a train wreck. You can't look away. Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews, another one of the big CNN political pundits, kind of had the same attitude that this was something that was going to catch your attention. And again, the loser was a guy that was new on stage and had a chance to shape and change the entire event. And he failed.
I never saw anything like it. It was the Roman Coliseum. It was boxing in the 1950s. You wait for the other guy, Carmen Basilio or something like that, to get a cut over their eye, and then you keep punching the cut over their eye over and over and over again. That's what they did to Bloomberg. That's what Elizabeth Warren did to Bloomberg. She knew his weakness was the NDA, and she kept punching the spot, and it kept bleeding and bleeding. He had no way to stop. He didn't have a cut, man. He should have had somebody before the event, the bout tonight, to warn him, this is what they're going to hit you on. And they're going to keep hitting you on it till you answer, release the women or something. I think that's what it was about tonight. What we saw, though, is also Elizabeth Warren, who was really doing the punching. She came back tonight. I think she's fought herself back into third place, maybe better, maybe second out here. I think she's probably disappointed that she wasn't tougher in New Hampshire. Everybody said that she wasn't the fighter. She was the fighter tonight.
And she and Senator Bernie Sanders, their campaigns, did benefit from that debate. Each of them raising about $2 million right after the debate. That's what they're reporting. And a new series of polls just released that came out the 20th, yesterday. Monmouth University, it was taken 16th through the 19th, basically found that Sanders continues to hold his lead in the Super Tuesday state of California. Biden coming in 17%. Bloomberg rounding out the top tier with 13%. Bloomberg, again, with all the money he's been spending, is pretty much buying his way in. But now when you look at this, when you look at the candidates on the stage the other night, and it was fun to watch if you like to watch Democrats do their demolition derby. It was a lot of fun. And I don't think there is a single candidate up there that could stand against Trump. And how, at this point, could they even stand two together against Trump? And you know where you can really also get the idea that this is a losing proposition? Alec Baldwin, Hollywood elitist, putting out on his tweet, "Why is the bar so low regarding our hopes for the presidency?" In other words, he's acknowledging these Democrat candidates don't measure up. Why is the bar so low? Maybe it's because you got such low candidates. That's exactly where it starts. And yet one of them is claiming, "I will have Obama's endorsement." Which one is making that statement? Well, we'll get into that part of the story as we take a short break. We'll be right back. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I'll never dance with another.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, which candidate standing on the debate stage the other night, or is yet a new one to surface, that will get the endorsement of Barack Obama? And Joe Biden, of course, was his vice president. Barack Obama has not endorsed him. And Joe Biden says, well, he was going to, but I said, no, I want to do it by myself. I want to do it by myself. Just like a little boy, I want to go to the potty by myself. I don't need help. He needs help. And he's not getting that endorsement. Is any candidate going to be endorsed? He's already made it clear. Obama's made it clear. In private conversations, we can't have socialists. We can't have a Bernie Sanders. And yet Bernie Sanders at this point is moving forward. He's going to win Nevada. Going in South Carolina going to be pretty strong. If he's the nominee for the Democrats, what will Barack Obama do? Bernie Sanders says, I'm not going to tell you that Obama and I are best friends, but we are friends. I talk to him off and on. Talk to him on the phone from time to time. He's an icon. I have absolute confidence he'll play a vigorous role, and we need him, no question about it. We need him. And if I win, I'm sure he'll be by my side. Bernie's saying, if I win, I'll have Barack Obama's backing. He does also say if someone else wins, they will get the backing. But Bernie is confident that he will get support from Barack Obama. Will that be enough to push him over the line against Trump? I would say no. Now, Trump did something the other day, and I told you the mainstream media would ignore it. They would absolutely ignore it or find a way to deal with it in a different way. The president decided to pick Ambassador Rick Grenell, the ambassador to Germany, and make Rick Grenell the acting director of the National Intelligence Agency. And immediately, of course, members of the party, Kevin McCarthy, said Trump made a great choice. Congressman Stewart saying congratulations to a real patriot. But the left, of course, attacking him. And here comes Congressman David Saline, Democrat of Rhode Island.
This is an important position. We rely on the Director of National Intelligence to provide information to the Congress and to the President about the security threats to our country and have the chief responsibility of sharing that information with Congress in a bipartisan way. Richard Grenell is basically an internet troll. He is a loyalist to the President. He is not qualified to hold this position even for a single day.
Well, now, did anybody tell Congressman Saline, before he started dissing and dumping on Grenell, did they tell them there's one other fact about Grenell? Grenell is openly gay. He will become the first gay cabinet member of the Trump administration. Yes, that homophobic President Trump putting Grenell on the cabinet. Did anyone tell Cicilline that the guy's gay, that maybe you shouldn't hit on him so hard? And by that, I mean accuse him of not being capable of doing the job? And I told you the mainstream media would do whatever it could to dismiss this and write it off if they reported it at all. So what they're trying to do is tear it up. Just tear it up. You can't be gay, can't be black, can't be anything of the left and be part of the Trump team at all. Into the world scenarios coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has been hit by lightning. Or maybe he just fell out of bed and hit his head. Something's happened to the man. He's suddenly awake and declaring what we already knew. Homelessness is a disgrace in California. That's part of his State of the State address to the legislature in Sacramento. And saying homelessness is a disgrace in the Golden State. You think? You think? I mean, he's just now aware of that? Look at the businesses that have been closing, moving out because they're surrounded by homeless people. You try to have a nice restaurant. People are coming, spending good money. You employ some people. Then you got homeless people coming by and urinating on your window as people are trying to eat. Or defecating on the sidewalk before they can get in. It's a disgrace. Really. Parts of California putting out poop patrol streets. Stay off these streets unless you want to pick up poop. I mean, and they're now recognizing in his State of the Union address, this is a disgrace. Huh. He said, the California dream is for all. Well, not really. Apparently not for the homelessness. But he did say, I'm devoting today's remarks to this crisis, homelessness. He said, let's call it what it is, a disgrace. That the richest state and the richest nation, succeeding across so many sectors, is failing to properly house, heal, humanely treat so many of its own people. And he starts laying blame. The blame he lays is, well, is not at his door. Is not at his door. He's basically saying, well, you know, you got to look at federal laws and things of that nature. And he didn't acknowledge that state laws, what they've been doing, are an issue. Did not blame any specific state policies. As a matter of fact, he said, I blame our country's leaders, that would be Donald Trump right now, and our nation's institutions. And then people in general are to blame. Not me, but it is a disgrace. He said, it's time for the state to step in. We're going to take excess state land, make it available for use by local governments for free to build homeless solutions, housing. And we're going to exempt them from any environmental review. Wow, that's a big step in California. You can't put a fence line up along your property until they make sure there's no sacred rare snail living in that area that you might damage the habitat. That's what he says he's going to do. Oh, and he also declared, we need to stop tolerating open drug use on our streets. Really? This guy is over the top. I mean, that's a State of the Union address. I wish I had been behind him, like Nancy Pelosi was behind Trump during the State of the Union. Because once this Governor Newsom finishes his speech, I ripped it up. Wish we were on camera. It's all talk. It's all talk. They're not going to do a thing to really correct things. What we heard from the Wednesday debate the other day in Las Vegas, Pete Buttigieg saying the climate change doomsday deadline is now. Now! He said we will never meet any of the other scientific or policy deadlines we need to if the country doesn't elect someone who would take action now. So all the homeless people out there, your day is coming anyway. With the rest of the world, we're all coming to an end. He is basically saying, we don't have any more time. During the debate, he said, let's be real about the deadline. It's not 2030, it's not 2040, it's not 2050, it's 2020. Now, right now, this year. So you got the governor of California now recognizing homelessness is a disgrace. And we should stop allowing and tolerating people shooting up drugs on the streets. How are they going to do that, by the way? You see somebody shooting up drugs on the street, at some point are you going to say, are you here illegally? Oh, well, then go ahead, because we don't want to keep you from living your life illegally in our country. But the end of the world is coming, so don't worry about it. Buttigieg and all the rest of them, they run around crying like Chicken Little, sky is falling, have been doing this for decades. They're frightening our children. When my girls were in grade school, they're now well into their 30s and plus, so they might not want to acknowledge that. And they have their own children. But I remember them being so concerned then that the polar bears were going to die any day. We still have polar bears. And yes, I want to protect our environment, but I don't want to go crazy every time somebody comes up with a new wild forecast. Now we got Buttigieg saying, the time is now. This is our deadline. Well, let's go back through some of these previous predictions. This was composed by Breitbart's John Nolte. I'm going to give him credit and or blame if there's anything wrong. I always want to give the credit where it's due and also blame if it's not right. He pointed out that in 1967, there was a dire forecast of famine by 1975. In other words, in less than 10 years, no food. In 1969, everyone would disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989, 20 years later. Yeah, it didn't happen. 1970, they said, we will have an ice age by 2000. I don't think so. 1970, America will be subject to water rationing by 1974. We'll have to ration food in this country by 1980. How's that prediction working out? Oh, then they came up with a new ice age because they missed the ice age by 2000. That was forecast 1970. So in 71, they said, let's review this quickly because maybe it's not going to happen in 30 years. New ice age coming by 2020 or 2030. They forecast that in 71. Well, we're in 2020. No ice age now. So I guess it's coming in 2030. 1972, they said, let's redo this ice age thing again. New ice age by 2070. Oh, there we go. Push you a little farther down from our lifespan. 1974, space satellites show the new ice age is coming fast, but they kept holding it 2070. Oh, but then in 74, they got on something new. Ozone depletion, a great peril to life. 76, science consensus, planet is cooling. Famine's imminent. The planet is cooling. Keep that in mind in 1976. 1978, no end in sight to 30-year cooling trend of our Earth. 1988, temperatures in D.C. will hit record highs. Well, wait a minute. They're going to be warming up in D.C. while we're cooling the rest of the world. 1989, rising sea levels will obliterate nations if nothing's done by 2000. 1989, if we don't do something by the year 2000, rising sea levels will obliterate nations. I don't know of a single one that's been obliterated. Another forecast by these climate alarmist change fright scary people. By the year 2000, children won't know what snow is. Oh, also in 2002, they had predicted that a famine in 10 years, that would be 2012, a famine in 2012 if we don't give up eating fish, meat, and dairy products. 2004, with the global ice age and everything happening, see, now we're into global ice age, whereas we were warming and facing famine because we were warming. Now we're back to another ice age again. That Britain will be in Siberia by 2024. And there'll be no ice in the Arctic by 2018. These are just some of these wild, crazy predictions. 2014, only 500 days before climate chaos. 500 days, for those of you not familiar with how many days are in a year, that's just a little over a year. We're well past 2014. They'd also made a prediction in 1970, the world will use up all of its natural resources. 1966, oil will be gone in 10 years. Yep. So in 72, that didn't happen. So they said oil will be depleted now in 20 years. Yeah, that didn't. So 77, let's do it again. Oil will peak in the 90s. In 1980, they said, let's move it to 2000. 96, they said, yeah, we're 4 years from that peak. Let's move the peak oil in 2020. Oh, in 2005, Manhattan underwater by 2015. 1970s, killer bees. Now, that might still happen any day. And then in 1970, a forecast was made. And this probably had to frighten a lot of people in 1970. Those of you who weren't born, you have no idea how close you came to never knowing life. Because a forecast at that time, you will have to wear a gas mask if you're going to live past 1985. Somebody was inhaling something. I'll say that for them. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about political correctness run amok. I mean, really, amok. That's coming up. Please stand by for us.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Can't
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm not a smoker, so I'm glad you can't smoke in the poker room and you can't smoke in restaurants and other places. Occasionally I like a cigar, but then I'll sit outside. But there's some parks you're not allowed to smoke even a cigar in a park. Are we getting to the point that maybe we're getting a little bit too uptight? A little bit. You know, obviously you can't smoke in some areas, confined areas. Open spaces, eh? Well, in Suffolk County, New York, they're now saying you can't smoke in your own home. You can't do it. It's against the law. Well, folks are saying, the hell I'm going to do what I want to in my own home. Well, you better not be smoking. In other words, especially if you live in a condo unit or something like that, they will come after you. That's the plan. I know. Folks are going to say, I'm not going to go for that. That's Suffolk, New York. Oh, and trying to find political correctness in the world. Google has an artificial intelligence tool. It's now going to recognize objects and images that no longer attach gender labels, such as woman or man, because they don't want to have any bias. In other words, if it has a photo of several people, it's just going to say, what, people? Two-legged animals? I don't know what it's going to say, but they're not going to say man or woman. If they're trying to sell something on Google, the artificial intelligence will step in and say you can't say selling a woman's hosiery. Nope. Then we have the Vegan Society. The Vegan Society rearing its head once again. I know some folks who are vegans, and I can put up with them. Even taking a couple ladies out that are vegans, it's a cheap date. Believe me, I don't have to buy a steak for them. But now the Vegan Society says in workplaces, in workplace environments, we should have a refrigerator dedicated to just us and vegan products. I don't know how many vegan products you need to put in refrigeration anyway, but they want that. Well, if you're not going to do that, then you've got to at least give us our own shelf. This shelf is just for vegans. We don't want anything meat or dairy or anything like that up. In fact, we want to be at the top shelf, at the very top. We want to be above all the things like milk and cheese and animal products. One employer, a property developer, said it would not reimburse any food expense claims unless the meals were vegetarian, in trying to encourage the staff quit eating as much meat for the sake of the environment. So it's already bending over and doing what the Vegan Society wants. They just don't want anything in that fridge that might not be vegan. Again, if this is a food choice a lot of folks are making for health and or weight loss, some folks going by a plant-based diet for losing weight, that's fine. It's just, the problem, again, it comes down to you do what you want, I'll do what I want. When you try to force your stuff onto me, that's where we have a party. And if you're going to have your own shelf in the fridge for your vegan products, I want my own shelf, and I don't want anybody touching it. I'll put my name on it. I want my own shelf for my Jack Daniels. I might want a shot of Jack during the day or a 5-hour energy, and it's mine. Don't be touching it. I want my own shelf. And if I had to put up with a lot of vegans at work on a constant day-to-day process, I might not need just a shelf. I might need my own fridge. And then it comes to joking about vegans. They say, don't joke. That's harassment. They're saying, seriously, the Vegan Society guidance recommends it's the employer's responsibility to foster a safe environment, a positive atmosphere for vegans in the workplace, and to shut off the jokes about veganism. Again, if you're a vegan, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to tell you this. What if I said, no, in this place, we're taking a vote, everybody's going to eat meat, and you have to eat meat? That wouldn't be right, would it? No. And you will make fun about me because I like to eat meat? So be it. Can I make a joke about you eating nothing but sunflower seeds or something? Would that be harmful to you? Some people would say yes. And they say that could be offensive. And part of their Equality Act, the Vegan Society says vegans can be subject to harassment and teasing and jokes, and that could include remarks made even if the vegan is not in the room to hear it. That's right. I'm offended because you told something in the other room. I don't know what you said, but I know you, and you probably told a vegan joke, and I'm offended. But you didn't hear it. No, but if you told it, I'm offended. As they point out, harassment does not have to be directed at the individual. For example, jokes or comments made between colleagues in the vicinity of vegans could constitute unlawful harassment. Well, I'm talking to this guy, and they're way across the room, so if they happen to hear it, you're offensive. What if we go outside and I tell the joke? You're offensive. You're offensive, you're offensive, you're offensive. Get used to it. Hey, if you want to share this program with your friends, neighbors, and even your enemies and your vegan friends, it'll be posted as a podcast at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, shortly, as we do with every program. As always, I appreciate your listening, joining in. You make this program work for us by listening and supporting our sponsors. Back Monday, same time, same station. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.